Hey, Happy Friday. This week I tried the Fairbuds XL with their brand new repairable design. Techno showed off two new Zoom cameras that look really interesting, and the US government wants to see your social media? Welcome to the Friday Checkout. This video was sponsored by Insta360. Okay, for my first story of the week, the Fairbuds XL have just launched and they can not only be completely disassembled in under 5 minutes, which makes them fully repairable, but they were also designed so that parts like the drivers can actually be backwards compatible with their predecessor. The repair process is extremely simple. You get a replaceable battery, cushions that twist off, a headband that easily comes apart into standard components, including a simple USB C2C cable and more. And these parts can also be bought from Fairphone's own website, of course. These new drivers supposedly sound better than the 2023 model, and they slot right into those for an easy upgrade. Now, I'm personally not an audiophile, so I'll just tell you that to me, the speakers and the microphones as well actually sounded really nice, but to my studio mate Killian, they did not, so there's that. What I can say for sure is that the little nipple for the controls is great. There is active noise cancelling, which is okay, and there's also multi-point Bluetooth, which actually worked really well most of the time, but did glitch out every now and then. Also, there's an IP54 water resistance rating, though during repairs you should pay attention to not ruining these little silicon seals so that the headphones stay protected. These are selling in Europe now and in the US soon for about $250, and I quite like them with the exception that after about 3 to 4 hours, I find that they start to press too hard on my head. Okay, for my second story of the week, Chinese filmmaker Techno showed off two really interesting ways to make zoom lenses in phones. First is what they call a dual mirror reflect telephoto lens, and it uses two mirrors to bounce the light back and forth and then onto the sensor. This folds the light path over itself and therefore allows you to get a really large zoom factor in a much smaller module. It's the same idea that is used in large telescopes, just miniaturized. A fun side effect is that it should create donut-shaped bokeh balls, and another one that is perhaps less fun is that I'm guessing the sensor has to be pretty small. Anyway, the second design is what they call a free-form continuum telephoto lens, and the idea here is to offer continuous zoom. But instead of the traditional solution, which moves lenses back and forth, which take up a lot of space, they somehow create this zoom effect with free-form lenses called Alvarez lenses, which are much smaller and they claim can shift between 1 to 9x zoom. 1 to 9x continuous zoom in a phone would be pretty crazy. I mean, we've seen other companies like Sony do variable zoom lenses, but their range was much smaller, and so this sounds like a major upgrade if true. Now, Techno says that they're developing these modules together with Samsung and a Taiwanese company called Largon, and while I hope that they're good, I also have to say that innovation in optics is usually very, very hard and also very, very slow, so I'm skeptical about the quality until I see the final results. Okay, and for my third story of the week, the US plans to scrutinize foreign tourists' social media history and more next. This came from a proposal of the US Customs and Border Protection Agency, and while it hasn't quite passed yet, it specifically refers to people using the ESTA system. ESTA is the kind of fast-track program that allows people from countries that are supposed to be US allies, you know, Australia, Japan, various European countries, etc., to go to the US as a tourist without having to get a proper visa. So, you know, these are like the lowest of the low-risk people, supposedly. But the proposal requires ESTA applicants to provide their social media from the last 5 years, and where feasible, also information like all telephone numbers used in the last 5 years, all email addresses used in the last 10 years, and even biometrics like face, fingerprint, DNA, and iris. What kind of a visa waiver program is this supposed to be? You're gonna give them your DNA, your iris scan, everything you've posted on the internet for the last 5 to 10 years, just to be a short-term tourist in the US? That's crazy. And like, just for comparison, I just recently went to China as a tourist from a European country. You know what I have to do to get there? Nothing. I showed up at the border. I didn't have to fill out any paper. I just looked at a camera. They took a photo of me. They did take my fingerprint. So, you know, like, that's, I guess, a privacy invasion. And that's it. They just let me in. Told me, please leave the country before your visa expires. That's it. This is supposedly the authoritarian evil country that wants to spy on you. Anyway, moving on, we start our release monitor with the Index, which is a brand new $99 smart ring from Eric, who recently rebooted Pebble smartwatches. The ring has a microphone and allows you to record your thoughts to it, which then sync over to your phone later, so it kind of works as a reliable way to dump your thoughts. The app can then also locally transcribe your ramblings, but weirdly enough, the ring has a built-in battery that should last somewhere around 2 years-ish, but one that cannot be recharged. That's odd. Next, here's a name that you haven't heard in a while. The Finnish company Yola has just announced pre-orders for their first phone that looks to have maybe not terrible specs. You get dual cameras, a high-resolution AMOLED screen, 12 gigs of RAM, and an unspecified MediaTek 5G chip. Its main selling point is that it has its final assembly, apparently in Finland, and also that it runs Sailfish OS, which is an actual self-developed Linux-based operating system, though it also has a compatibility layer for most Android apps. Now, this is an extremely niche thing, but more than 4,000 people have already paid up for their pre-order already, so that's something, I guess. And if you have a Nebula subscription, I'll be talking about my thoughts on the Yola phone in the extended version of this video. Next, something a bit more aimed at the broad masses, I guess, is the Charge Ice Mag 3, which is a MagSafe and Qi 2.2 compatible power bank designed to look like a kind of Sony Cybershot camera. As usual, it has an active cooling fan, which I think makes extra sense here because otherwise the 25-watt chargers that I've tried tend to overheat quite quickly, and because this is Charge, it of course also has an RGB light. And talking of quirky designs, Nothing has recently released the community edition of the Phone 3a, which has a really fun new retro design. It's mostly just a fresh coat of paint and they're only making about 1,000 units of these, but it's a fun way to get some attention in a really busy phone world. And meanwhile, pretty wild is the new Doma Home, which is a new smart door, not a lock, but a whole door from the founders of August that has face recognition and can not only automatically unlock, but also open, and also gives you a pretty wild view of the outside. That's something. Now, this one isn't even in a pre-order stage yet, but as usual, I've put links to it and all the other news stories that I've covered in the description. And then moving on to a brief, we'll start with Rivian, who has announced that it's making its own 5-nanometer AI chips. They're designed in-house for self-driving, they'll be manufactured by TSMC, and Rivian also promised some AI self-driving software and LiDAR to go along with it. Next, OpenAI announced this week that Adobe apps like Photoshop, Express, and Acrobat are becoming available as apps inside ChatGPT. You can type a command for either, and apparently it should just execute things like image editing or PDF manipulation right within your chat box. And talking of OpenAI, the company has also made a massive deal with Disney. Sora will be able to generate videos using more than 200 Disney, Marvel, Pixar, and Star Wars characters, and a selection of these fan-inspired Sora short-form videos will be available to stream on Disney+. Meanwhile, Disney will make a $1 billion equity investment in OpenAI and receive warrants to purchase additional equity. In other words, this is a licensing deal that actually goes both ways, which is a pretty new idea for how AI companies and IP holders can interact, I guess. And then to put a cherry on top of this story, Disney then immediately declared that Google AI infringes on their copyright on a massive scale right after they signed their deal with OpenAI. You know, if you can make a deal with one company, why not force the other to make a deal with you as well? And talking of AI video, McDonald's followed in Coca-Cola's footsteps and made a fully AI-generated ad where the theme was that Christmas is the most terrible time of the year and you could just be in a McDonald's chilling instead of trying to do stuff with your family at home. Now, I bet you'll not be surprised to hear that people hated just about everything about this video, and so it's already gone from YouTube. Genius! And then in more AI news, the French company Mistral has made an open weights AI model that is supposedly closing in on proprietary options. And they also released a command line interface called the DevStral Mistral Vibe CLI to go along with it. Okay. Then on Monday, Apple and Google announced that they're teaming up to make switching between an iPhone and an Android phone easier. New features that streamline the process of moving data between each platform are in beta builds in both platforms now, and the EU was very quick to take credit for this, saying that it was proof that the Digital Markets Act is working. Next, Google and Samsung hosted an event on Android XR where they launched a bunch of new updates. This includes PC Connect, which makes it easier to stream PC apps to the headset, and also something called Likeness, which is like having a 3D avatar for video calls, same as you'd get with Apple. Okay. And then as a Hungarian, I feel it's my duty to tell you about Bille. It's a new geometric shape invented in the Budapest Technical University, which is the only one that we've ever figured out that has four distinct signs, but always writes itself to the same one. And if this sounds kind of familiar, it's because a Hungarian team a while ago also invented the Gömböc, which is the only homogeneous 3D object that we know that has just one stable and one unstable point of equilibrium, meaning that it always writes itself. And you're welcome for the mostly useless but pretty fun knowledge. Okay, and then bringing major updates to existing cameras with wild new software and accessories is what my sponsor Insta360 has been up to lately, and I got to try some of their really unorthodox ideas for the X5 this week. Okay, so normally the X5, which by the way is on discount for the holidays right now, is of course a traditional 360-degree action camera. You use it mostly to film your holiday videos or action footage, and it's great for that with 8K quality, amazing stabilization, and more. But it just got a big winter update with tons of new features and also three new accessories. One such update is called the InstaFrame 2.0, which pairs really well with their new free-framing selfie stick. You know how gimbals are really popular these days, either for your phone or in dedicated devices like the DJI Osmo? Well, Insta360 thought, why not make their existing X5 replicate a whole lot of functionality instead of trying to sell you yet another new camera? The X5 can now switch to filming regular flat video that you can control with a joystick, and you also get all the usual gimbal controls on top of that. Of course, your camera has a crazy good lock on whatever it is that you're trying to track because it is a 360-degree camera already. But then you also get the controls to stop and start recording, to flip between the front and the back, to zoom in and out, to move around with the joystick, and so on. And this way you don't have to edit the 360-degree clip at all, you just get flat videos straight out of the camera. Okay, and then even more wild is the photography grip. That's right, you can connect it to your X5 and it turns it into a photo camera with a shutter button, an ergonomic grip, and a strap, and so on. That is pretty wild. Meanwhile, I have to say my favorite accessory is the one that is actually the simplest of the bunch, this throw pod. It looks just like a regular selfie stick that can go all the way to human height, but it also houses a little remote which you can then pop out and control your recording with. And once you bump its bottom against something, its three legs automatically pop out, and it becomes a tripod that you can extend to human height. It's great for quickly setting it up and shooting 360-degree video of you. Clever! It's really nice to see Insta360 actually supporting existing cameras with new ideas. And right now, the holiday discount combined with my special link gives the first 10 people who order 15% off, or about $100 off, plus a free replaceable lens kit, which allows you to fix your lenses if you break them, and also 1 TB of optional cloud service worth another $100 or so for free. That is their biggest price drop on the X5 yet, and some of those gifts are exclusive to my link, so be sure to use that. Happy Friday, and I'll see you in the next video.